This is called Agradweep. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, amongst the branches of the Sri of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is declared that Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh are very important. These three brothers were born in this place of Agradweep. They came from Kayastha families and were especially very much loved for their sweet, loving kirtans. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains that when Madhava Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, and Govinda Ghosh perform kirtan, as soon as they would begin, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu would immediately begin to dance in ecstasy. At Panihati, when they were singing kirtan, Lord Nityananda Prabhu began to completely inundate the devotees with the power of his love. They would sing beautiful songs about Vrindavan and utterly melt the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. In fact, nothing in the entire creation could compare to the kirtan performance of Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh. This is the conclusion of our acharyas. During the Ratha Yatra every year in Puri, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu designated the three brothers to lead one of the seven parties of kirtan. And in their party, he selected Vakreshwar Pandit to be the dancer. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to South India. After some years, he decided to go to Vrindavan. During his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, he came to Srinavadweep Dham. There we know, in Kuliagram, he forgave all the offenders who had criticized, blasphemed, and treated harshly the Lord and his devotees, and gave them all pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling from village to village, and Govinda Ghosh was acting like his servant. At that time, Govinda Ghosh was a very committed brahmachari, and he would perform very menial tasks to serve his beloved Lord, Sri Gauranga. One of those tasks was, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take his prasad, he would bring him some haritaki, which aids in digestion and is very good for health. So one day, he had to beg for the haritaki and kept the Lord waiting for a period of time before bringing it to him. The next day, after the Lord's prasad, the Lord asked for haritaki and he immediately gave him some. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "How is this? Yesterday, you had to go begging. It took time. But today you have it immediately. Can you explain?" Govinda Ghosh replied that, "Not wanting to keep you waiting, my Lord, I beg for an extra quantity, and I am keeping it with me so I can give to you without inconvenience." "Ah, you have the mood of a collector. You are keeping in collection. Therefore, you cannot be a brahmachari. This mood of collecting and keeping things in storage is the mood of a grihastha. Therefore, you must get married." Govinda Ghosh began to cry, weeping tears, "My Lord, please, please, no, don't abandon me from your service. I'm a brahmachari. Let me be a brahmachari. Let me serve you with my heart and soul with no distraction." The Lord said, "No, I have decided you must accept the grihastha order of life." Seeing the tears in his devotee's eyes, the Lord told him that I will always be with you. So Govinda Ghosh was sent by the Lord back to this place, where in due course of time he accepted a Krishna conscious, chaste and faithful wife, and had one son. He was very much lonely in separation from Lord Chaitanya. One day before the sunrise, he went to take bath in Ganga, which is very close by to this place. While he was in the Ganga, he felt something coming down the current that touched his body. He was thinking that it was a burning piece of wood, so he immediately picked it up and threw it on the bank of the river. But he didn't see what it was because it was too dark. He came home. That night he had a dream. In the dream, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him that I promised you that I would stay with you. I came today in the river to be with you, but you picked me up and threw me on the riverbank. Go back, I am waiting for you. So Govinda Ghosh, the next day morning, he went to the riverbank, and there he found the beautiful, merciful deity of Gopinath, who we see in the temple on this very day. Govinda Ghosh understood that this form of Gopinath was none different than Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he felt his beloved's association in worshipping the deity. Govinda Ghosh, he was doing a lot of preaching in this area, preaching to whoever he met the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram have appeared as Gorni Thai. They're giving love of God profusely to all. Just accept with faith their message and chant the holy names of
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One day he had some preaching function to go to, so he told his son, who was only 5 years old at the time, that your mother will make the offering of bhog and you should offer it to Gopinathji. So he left and mother prepared the Raj Bhog offering. And the child brought the offering in and placed it before the deity. Prayed to the deity of Gopinath, please accept this offering. Of course we know how the Lord glances upon the bhoga and tastes the devotion in it and leaves it as Mahaprasad. 5-year-old child, he did not understand these high philosophical principles. He saw that the food was still there. He said, Gopinath, please eat. Please eat. When my father offers, you eat. But when I offer, you won't eat. Please eat. He was very disturbed. He was crying, begging the Lord again and again and again, please eat. Some say he even picked up a stick and said, if you don't eat, I'm going to get in trouble. My father's going to punish me that you didn't eat his food. You please eat. So Gopinath spoke to the child. He said, I've already eaten. It's prasad. He said, no, you haven't eaten. I'm going to get in trouble by my father. You eat. Gopinath said, I will eat. But you have to promise me that you will never tell anyone that I have eaten this food. If you do, you die. He promised. The deity ate half the offering right in front of the child's eyes. The child brought the prasad off of the altar. And soon Govinda Ghosh returned. He said, where is the prasad? Mother brought. Where's the rest of it? He said, your son only brought half back. Govinda Ghosh became very angry. He said, "You have eaten the deity's offering?" He said, "No. Your mother says when you took it off the altar, there was only half there. Did you eat it?" He said, "No. Then where is it?" "I didn't eat it. Then where is it?" No, I didn't eat it. "You tell me, where is it?" Father was very angry out of love for his child. So due to being fearful, the child said, "Actually, Gopinath ate it. I saw him eat it, honest." As soon as he spoke that, blood started coming out of his mouth and he died. Shri Gopinath Dev Ki! Govinda Ghosh felt very bad that he pressurized his son to speak a lie before the deity. So in his lamentation, he came before Gopinath and told him that, "I only have one son, and you have taken away my son." Gopinath spoke to him. He said, "Please know that I am your son, and you should honor me and serve me as your son." Govinda Ghosh said, "How can you be my son? You are my lord, you are my master. My only son is dead. Who will carry on my dynasty? Who will offer Shraddha Pinda after I leave this world?" The deity of Gopinath said to him, "I promise you, I will offer thee Shraddha and Pinda. I am your son." So from that day on, Govinda Ghosh worshipped Gopinath Dev in the love and devotion of a father for a son. Many years passed. On the disappearance day of Govinda Ghosh, all the people from these villages were feeling great grief in his separation. They brought his body to the river Ganga and performed the last rites. When they came back, the deity, who was elegantly dressed, was no longer dressed in his prescribed attire. He was wearing the very simple type of white dress that a son wears after his father dies. So they understood the truth that Gopinath truly is the son of Govinda Ghosh. So they brought the deity to the Samadhi Mandir and had the deity personally offer Shraddha to his father. And from that time to this very day, this is the tradition in Agradweep. On the disappearance day of Govinda Ghosh, they bring the deity of Gopinath in a palanquin to the Samadhi of Govinda Ghosh, which is just behind us. And he offers the Shraddha Patra and Pinda to his beloved devotee. That's such a glorious festival that 200,000 to 300,000 people are crowded in this courtyard on that occasion every year. It is one of the most glorious festivals of Gaurmandala Bhumi. This land belongs to the king of Krishna Nagar. And that king has such devotion to this deity that after the disappearance festival, where Gopinath Dev performs the Shraddha, the deity is put on a boat and he's taken on the Ganga to Navadvip Ghat, where he spends the night and is worshipped by all the devotees of Navadvip and Mayapur. It's a great festival. And he stops in various places until he comes to Krishna Nagara. When he's there, he's worshipped in a temple in the king's palace area for half of the year. And just after Vijayadashami, Dasera, the deity is brought back here to be worshipped. Today we are sitting in this very holy courtyard where Govinda Ghosh, that divine servitor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would perform his kirtan of the holy name, his preaching, his worship of Gopinath Dev. We are sitting under the shade of a tamal tree. The tamal tree represents Shamsundar, tamal Krishna. Krishna has complexion like tamal tree. When Srimati Radharani would see tamal tree, she would remember her beloved Shamsundar, and she would embrace the tamal tree and go mad in the ecstasy of love. Oh, this is a very worshipable tree. It is very symbolic, because by taking shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who is blackish like a tamal tree, we can achieve relief from the scorching heat of material existence. Should we continue the narration from yesterday? The Brahman appeared in a dream to Jagannath Mishra and told him that your son is an extraordinary personality. You should not chastise him and punish him in this way. Jagannath Mishra heard very respectfully, but replied that he may be a great soul. He may even be Lord Narayan, but still he has taken birth as my son. If I do not teach him proper manners and behavior, then how will he ever learn? This was his mood of devotion. Then he and the Brahman in the dream spoke many very elevated topics of devotional service. The Brahman took the dust from Jagannath Mishra's lotus feet and disappeared from the dream. One day, Nimai came to the bank of River Ganga, and he saw some young ladies, young girls actually. They had a vow to worship Lord Shiva and Parvati. They put all their articles of puja beside a throne where their deities were meant to worship, and then they went into the Ganga to take bath. When they came back, Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the throne. They said, "What are you doing, Nimai? This is the throne of the demigods." He said, "I am the Supreme Lord. I am the enjoyer and proprietor of everything. Ganga Devi comes from my lotus feet. And Shiva and Parvati, they worship me as their supreme object of adoration. You should give all your offerings to me." They were very upset. They came with their offerings, and Lord Chaitanya started taking. He took the garlands and put them around his own neck, took the chandan and decorated all of his limbs, started taking the bhoga and eating it. They said, "Nimai, what you are doing, this is for the demigods." He said, "Give all your offerings to me, and I will give you good benedictions." He said, "If you give me everything that you have brought, I will give you the boon that you will have a husband who is young, handsome, strong, full of wealth. Not only that, but he will be very kind and loving to you, and he will give each of you 7 children who will live long lives, who will always keep good health, and who will be very intelligent scholars." So the ladies were very happy with this benediction. The young girls started giving him all of their offerings. But some of them, they were thinking, "This is aparad," and they were running away. The Lord saw them fleeing. He said, "If you don't give me your offerings, then I curse you." that you will have an old husband with minimum 4 co-wives. They became very fearful. They came running back with their offerings. And he ate all their offerings and he gave them blessings. One day, Sachi Devi gave Sri Gauranga a plate with a very nice offering of fused rice and sweetmeats and said, Nima, you please eat this. She went back to her household duties. When she returned, she saw Nimai hiding in a secret place, eating dirt. Nimai, what are you doing? Why are you eating dirt? What craziness has come over you? I have given you these nice sweetmeats and rice. Nimai said, my mother, why are you upset? Why are you so unintelligent? Do you not know that there's no difference between dirt and sweetmeats? After all, what is these sweetmeats? It's nothing but a transformation of dirt. This body is nothing else but a transformation of dirt. Everything that exists is only a transformation of dirt. Sachi Mata became very disturbed. She said, my child, where have you learned this Mayavad philosophy? This is mental speculation. Don't you know that if you eat rice and sweetmeats, you will become healthy and strong? If you eat dirt, you will become diseased. If you want to carry water, you put it in a clay pot. And you can carry the water wherever you want it to go. But if you put the water on dirt, it will simply cause a mess of mud. If you put the water on a brick, you cannot carry it anywhere. Sachi Mata taught the Lord the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Unity in diversity. The inconceivable philosophy of the one indifference of everything that exists. Everything is Brahma, but still Krishna is Parabrahma. This material nature is the transformation of the spiritual energy. Krishna is the source, and therefore everything is spiritual. But still, everything that exists within the spiritual existence has its own individual, unique existence and identity. Madhvacharya taught this principle that every jivatma is different than every other jivatma. Each is a unique individual person. The jivatma is different than the Supreme Paramatma. He is the individual part and parcel, infinitesimal by nature. And the jivatma is different from all the ingredients of material nature. Similarly, material nature is different than the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahman Krishna, in that it is his extended, inferior energy. He is the source and the controller. Similarly, material nature is different from the whole principle or tattva of all jivatmas. And every aspect, every atomic particle of material nature is distinct, unique, and different from every other aspect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, and in his Leela, he first heard it from his mother, Sachi Devi. We are all eternally servants of Krishna. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively we are always subordinate to Him. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidadati kama. There is one supreme eternal. And there are also infinite subordinate eternals who are always dependent on that one, Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya heard this philosophy from his mother, Sachi Devi, he became very happy. He said, "Why didn't you tell me this nice philosophy before I ate the dirt? From now on, this day on, I will never eat dirt. I will drink the sweet milk from your breast." Then Nimai climbed upon her lap and she embraced him and fed him the milk from her breast. The Lord's older brother, Vishwarup, had no interest at all in anything of this material world from his very birth. He could not tolerate seeing the face of people who were trying to enjoy material life in forgetfulness of Krishna. And in Navadvip at that time, people were so proud. In their arrogance, they would constantly ridicule and blaspheme the devotees, because the devotees simply had no concern for material life. They would say, "You devotees, you simply scream all night. You keep us awake. Do you not think that Paramatma can't hear your silent japa in your heart? You're screaming so loud that you're going to wake up Vishnu and he's going to destroy the entire creation in his anger. And the demigods, they're going to be so insulted by your loud screaming that they're not going to send any rains and we're all going to starve. We know you're all just a bunch of beggars, parasites to society, just screaming and howling and disturbing us all." Just the day before we left for this yatra, I was standing in front of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Bombay. And one of our neighbors approached me and said, "Swamiji, I want to say something to you. What would you like to say?" He said, "Please stop all this noise pollution." I thought he was talking about all the construction going on. Because, you know, we're having all night long of drilling and welding and banging metal and all of that noise. Brahmacharis know. They're so accustomed to it, they have a hard time sleeping without it. He said, "No, not the construction. I'm talking about the noise pollution. You people, you just scream. You just scream at night and you scream early in the morning. I'm an old man, I'm not sleeping properly. Stop all this screaming." I was thinking, this person has come right from the pages of Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's a bona fide blasphemer. I was thinking, he must have studied Chaitanya Charitamrita. He memorized the lines perfectly. Haribol. So this is not simply theoretical history. And I was thinking that this is a very auspicious indication. When he said this, I was actually in ecstasy. This is what they would say just outside the house of Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur is the Rasa Stali of Navadvip. It's none different than Vrindavan. It is said in our scripture by Vrindavan Das Thakur that Krishna took his birth in the house of Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj in Mathura, but he performed his most intimate pastimes in the abode of Nanda and Yashoda in Gokul. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his birth at Yogapith, but he performed his intimate leelas in the house of Srivas and Malini. So when this particular neighbor was saying like this, I was thinking that this means that Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, have accepted our kirtans in the same way they're accepting the kirtans in Srivasangam. And he's reciprocating in a similar way through the mouths of the neighbors. So Vishwaroop, seeing these people, he was very distressed. So he would not spend any time anywhere else except in Advaitacharya's house with the Vaishnavas. They would be constantly having Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. He was so beautiful, so learned, and so full of devotion that when he would speak about the process of devotional service and love for Krishna, Advaitacharya, in ecstasy, would roar. Devotees would cry. They could not give up his association for even a minute. Every day, Sachimata would cook bhoga and offer it to the deity of Adhokshita Vishnu. And they had a Shalagram Shila named Raghunath at their house. After it became prasad, she would tell Nimai, please go bring your brother for his food. So Nimai, small child, he would run to the house of Advaitacharya at Advaita Bhavan. And he would come into the assembly of the devotees. When the devotees would see him in his radiant golden form, he mystically attracted their hearts in the same way that they are attracted to Nanda Nandana Krishna. But simultaneously, by his yogamaya potency, they were not able to identify who he was. They loved him with the same ecstasy they loved Krishna, but they didn't understand he was Krishna. In fact, they were all speaking Hari Katha. But when he came into the house, they couldn't even speak about Krishna anymore. Their eyes were fixed without blinking at this beautiful little boy, Nimai. Nimai would smile. He would pull his older brother's dhoti and say, our mother is calling you for lunch. Please come. Then he would pull and they would go away. Vishwaroop would take prasad, worship the deity of Vishnu, and immediately after, he would go back to Advaitacharya's house. He became the life and soul of the Vaishnavas. But when he would see materialistic people, knowing that they were not willing to accept the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, knowing that even the scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita would never speak a single word about bhakti, he would think in his heart, I will renounce the world and go to the forest. He accepted the renounced order of sannyas. Then he was given the name Shankararanya Maharaj. When his family learned what had taken place, they were struck with unbearable grief. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were beside themselves, weeping and crying, their hearts broken. They loved their child so dearly. He was the expansion of Nityananda Balaram himself. Even Nimai, he was weeping tears of separation from his beloved brother. At that time, the neighbors, friends and family members were coming to Jagannath Mishra's house. And they said, actually, you should not be lamenting. You should be happy. You should be proud. Because according to the scriptures, If a child takes sannyas, then 10 million generations of his family will be liberated. He has done the right thing. He has dedicated his life in the service of Lord Hari. Please stop your lamentation. Besides, you have the crest jewel of all sons in the form of Nimai. Nimai promised them, I will not leave home. I will take care of you. Jagannath Mishra heard their words and he became pacified. But then as soon as he would think of the qualities of Vishwarup, he immediately would just fall down and begin to cry. But then he thought that Krishna has given me this son. And Krishna has taken away my son. Everything is happening by the inconceivable perfect will of Lord Krishna. With this philosophical reasoning, he was pacified. After some days, he approached Sachi Devi. He said, I find that our child, Nimai, he is constantly reading the scriptures. He's becoming such a great scholar. And anyone who reads the scriptures will come to the same conclusion that this material world is an illusion, that attachment to material sense gratification is the source of all bondage and suffering. If he really understands the scriptures, then he will renounce material life and take sannyas. He's our only child. He's the only thing we have to live for. If he leaves us, I cannot survive. Therefore, on this day, I will order him. He must never again study books. Huh? Sachimata was very disturbed. How can you stop our child from studying books? He'll be an ignorant fool. Yes, Jagannath Mishra said, let him remain an ignorant fool at home with us. Sachimata said, but how will he earn his living? And what proper girl will be given to him in marriage if he's uneducated? Jagannath Mishra replied, O uneducated daughter of a Brahmin, do you not understand that everything is happening by the will of Krishna? Whatever Krishna desires, that will take place. It is not by our efforts, or by our wealth, or by our education that we get what we get. It is all by Krishna's providence. Just see, I'm a learned scholar, and we do not even have food in the house. And there are people who cannot even write one letter of the alphabet. And they have so much money. They live in big, big homes. And there's at any given time hundreds of pundits waiting outside their door for donations. Our child is dear to Krishna. He will give him everything he needs and he will give him a very nice chaste wife. You have nothing to fear. But he will no longer study. Nimai, you come here. Nimai came before his father. He said, from this day on, you are forbidden to study any more books. Nimai obeyed his father. Jagannath Mishra said, you can do anything you want, but you cannot study books. Now after Vishwarup left, Nimai stopped his restlessness. He became very sober. He was always consoling his parents, and he became very deep into studies. But after his studies were taken away from him, he became more restless than ever. He would be out all day and all night with his friends causing mischief. Sometimes they would go out in the day just to look at what they could destroy at night.
they saw a banana plantation with nice ripe banana trees. Take note of this. That night, three boys put a big sheet of cloth over them so they looked like a huge bull. And they came running into the banana plantation, knocking down all the trees. And the owner came to the door and saw this big, big white bull knocking down his trees. Hi, 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 you're destroying my trees. And the boys in the form of a bull ran away. At other times, they would very quietly approach the people's houses. And from outside, they would bolt the doors locked. Then they would hide in the bushes to watch the fun. When the people had to respond to the calls of nature, they couldn't get out of their houses. Now, in civilized society, there were no toilets or latrines in the houses. This is considered uncivilized, barbaric, Yavana, Malecha facilities. People would go outside, in the bushes or in the fields, and respond to nature very nicely, naturally. I remember at New Vrindavan when Prabhupada was coming, there was an old house in a forest called Madhuban, and we had to restore the whole house with no money, with nothing. We had to scrape the paint off the house with a butter knife, and we had to repaint it with all these different color paints that were donated and try to make it match. There were different colors, and in order to make it match, we just mixed them all together so it would be the same color. And then we had enough quantity to paint house. Now, when Prabhupada was coming, the night before they discovered the toilet did not flush. Hare Krishna. This was a major emergency. Does anyone know how to fix toilets? Is there any plumbers? Silence. So I was told, you fix the toilet. And if you don't fix it, if it's not flushing by the time Prabhupada comes, you have committed guru aparad. I was a new devotee. This was in 1972. I hadn't even shaved my head yet. And I'm already about to commit guru aparad. So, I didn't know the first thing about toilets. I lived in India for 2 years, going on riverbanks doing all these things. And at New Vrindavan, that was the only toilet. At New Vrindavan, we would go in the fields, we would climb up mountains and dig holes in the ground, and we would respond to nature's calls and bury it. It was very nice. I hadn't used a toilet in years, and now I'm asked to be an engineer and fix one. So I was just putting sticks in it and doing all kinds of things. I don't know, I couldn't make it flush. All night long, I was praying to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. I've never asked anything of you before. Please make this toilet flush. Flushed. Miracle. This was one of my first miracles I witnessed with my own eyes. So I was thinking, Prabhupada's going to be so pleased with me. So he came, and when it came for him to respond to nature's calls, there's a nice bathroom with a nice toilet here, Prabhupada. Prabhupada took a lota and went out into the fields. Prabhupada Prabhupada, there's a toilet at Flushes.
Papa went out to the fields. He went out to the fields every day. He said, I like to be in the natural forest with the breezes flowing against me. So this is civilization. So in Navadvip, there were no flushing toilets. There were fields. So when the people had this urge, I was a new devotee. This was in 1972. I hadn't even shaved my head yet. And I'm already about to commit Guru Aparadha. So, I didn't know the first thing about toilets. I lived in India for 2 years, going on riverbanks doing all these things. And at New Vrindavan, that was the only toilet. At New Vrindavan, we would go in the fields, we would climb up mountains and dig holes in the ground, and we would respond to nature's calls and bury it. It was very nice. I hadn't used a toilet in years, and now I'm asked to be an engineer and fix one. So I was just putting sticks in it and doing all kinds of things. I don't know, I couldn't make it flush all night long. I was praying to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. I've never asked anything of you before. Please make this toilet flush. Flushed! Miracle! This was one of my first miracles I witnessed with my own eyes. So I was thinking, Prabhupada's going to be so pleased with me. So he came, and when it came for him to respond to nature's calls, there's a nice bathroom with a nice toilet here, Prabhupada. Prabhupada took a lota and went out into the fields. Prabhupada, there's a toilet at Flushes. Papa went out to the fields. He went out to the fields every day. He said, I like to be in the natural forest with the breezes flowing against me. So this is civilization. So in Navadvip, there were no flushing toilets. There were fields. So when the people had this urge, they went to the door, picked up their lota. The door was locked. Now all of you know what happens. When that particular manifestation of material energy comes upon us. I remember one time I was preaching at a college, and we had invited many of these students to our little preaching center. So this one student came to our preaching center and said that he was God. He said, I am God. I am all-knowing. I am all-loving. I am all-merciful. I am the Supreme. You're also the Supreme. We're all the Supreme. Everything's one. So I tried to preach to him philosophy. But whatever philosophy I spoke, he was not accepting it. He just kept arguing. Really, he was a very intelligent. He was actually a scientist trying to get a PhD. He was a graduate student.
So many arguments. And he wouldn't accept scripture.
He wouldn't accept authority of parampara. He was illogical. He was a rascal.
Then he said to me, where is your latrine?
I said, you cannot use our latrine. He said, no, I must use your latrine. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you where it is.
You are supposed to be all-knowing.
He said, well, you just let me go.
I will find it.
I said, no, you cannot do. It was actually Krishna's arrangement. He became desperate. He said, I need to use the latrine immediately. I said, no. And meanwhile, it was a class. There was about 25 other people there.
And they were thinking that I'm cruel.
He was dancing.
He was jumping up and down. He was in complete anxiety. He was perspiring. Where is the toilet?
I said, if you're God, you're supposed to be controlling all the planets. You cannot even control your own bowels? You're the controller of everything that exists? Can't you control your urge to pass urine? He said, no. I said, I will show you where this latrine is if you admit before all these people that you are not God. He said, I'm not God. Show me the latrine.
I said, are you a servant of God?
Yes, I will serve him.
Then you chant these names.
And really, he chanted. It was quite offenseless, too.
I taught him the Maha Mantra, and he was crying out, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Chanted the name of the Lord sincerely, Krishna fulfilled his desire. I personally opened the door to the latrine. Said, to your heart's content. He was never the same after that. So this is something we all have in common. So we can sympathize with the residents of Navadvip. They were banging on the doors. Open the door! Open the door! Open the door! Ah!
And Nimai and his friends were laughing to see what they have done.
And they would run away to the next house and be like that.
Vrindavan Das Thakur says, every game that has ever been played by every child that has ever lived, Nimai and his friends would play those games too.
There was no game left unturned that they wouldn't play.
One day, Jagannath Mishra went out of town, and some of the ladies of Navadvip came to Sachi Devi's house and said, you're Nimai. He is sitting on a pile of dirty, refused clay pots.
Sakshimata was very much
disturbed by this. She came running to the site, and there she saw, sitting on a high pile of rejected pots, this Nimaya sitting. You see, these pots were used to cook for Vishnu, and when the fire goes against the pot, they become very black.
So after one use, the tradition was to throw it away.
Nimai looked so beautiful. He appeared to be like a golden-colored lotus flower, and the black spots all over his body were like black bees hovering around him. He was smiling. Sachi Devi said, Nimai, come down from these pots. He said, no, I will not come down from these pots. You must come down. Why? This is a dirty place. You are the child of a Brahmin. This is a very, very bad thing you are doing. Where did you learn these uncivilized things? Come down at once.
Nimai said, how do you expect me to know anything if I'm not allowed to study?
How am I supposed to understand what is good, what is bad, what is civilized, what is uncivilized, if you don't allow me to study the books?
Besides that, my mother, wherever I sit, that becomes completely purified. The Ganges becomes purified because it touches me. My presence purifies the 14 worlds.
Sakshimata, she couldn't understand what he was speaking. She said, you come down at once.
Nimai said, unless you allow me to study books again, I will not come down.
The neighborhood ladies,
upon hearing this,
they said, Sakshimata, you don't allow your son to study? What
craziness is this? Our children, they don't like to study. We have to force them to study.
You're so fortunate that your child likes to study. What enemy of yours has convinced you to stop the studies of your child?
Then they turned to Nimai and said, Nimai, you should not come down. We are on your side.
Sakshimata climbed up through all those pots and picked up Nimai and brought him home.
Bathed his body. When Jagannath Mishra came home, Sakshimata told him that our son is very unhappy that we do not allow him to study.
And then the family and neighbors, they began to speak.
They said, Jagannath Mishra,
what enemy of yours has told you to not allow your child to study? Don't you know that Krishna is the supreme controller? Even if your child is very learned, Krishna will protect him. Krishna will take care of him. Whatever Krishna desires will take place. Do not be afraid.
Thus Jagannath Mishra, in order to please his beloved Nimai, set a date,
an auspicious moment, to award him the sacred thread.
On that day, the Lord manifested his mood and his form of Vamanadeva.
Beautiful form. Attracted everyone's hearts as he performed the rites of receiving the sacred thread. And then he went begging for Dakshina, just as Vamanadeva went begging.
The Jagannath Mishra asked Nimai, which of the teachers of Navadvipa would you like to study from?
And he understood Nimai's heart. He wanted to study from the great Gangadas Pandit.
Jagannath Mishra personally brought him to the institution of learning of Gangadas and said, I want to entrust the care of my son's study to you. Gangadas embraced Nimai and said to Jagannath Mishra, that this is my great fortune. To have a student like this is the fruit of all of my prayers. Nimai was studying. He became the best of all students. In fact, he was such expert at his academics that he would present an argument and ask anyone if they could refute it. Nobody could refute it. Then he would refute his own argument and ask if anybody could reestablish the original argument. Nobody could do it. They said, no, Nimai, what you have said is perfect. No one can refute it. Then he would refute that and reestablish the original argument. He said, can anyone refute this? He said, impossible. No one in the creation can refute it. It's perfect. Then he would refute that and reestablish the argument that already refuted that. He would mystify people. He was so learned. The first time he would see a sutra or a sloka, he memorized it for life. One night, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. He woke up in the morning, crying, offering his obeisances, O Lord Hari, O Lord Hari, please do not allow my son to leave home. Please keep my child Nimai at home. Satchimata said, my husband, what is wrong? Why are you speaking like this? Why are you bowing down to Lord Hari? Last night I had a dream. It was a horrible dream. In the dream, I saw our child Nimai. His beautiful hair was shaven. He had a shaved head and the saffron robes of a sannyasi. He was chanting the holy names. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. And then I saw Advaitacharya, Srivas Pandit, and all the great Vaishnavas worshipping him. He sat on a throne and was putting his lotus feet on all of their heads. Then the dream changed. And I saw Nimai weeping in ecstasy with his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. In the robes of a sannyasi, he was traveling to Jagannath Puri, and there were tens and millions of people following behind him, worshipping him, and chanting in kirtan with him the holy name. Dear Sachi Devi, I fear that our child is going to leave home and accept sannyas as Vishwarup has done. Sachi Mata said, my dear husband, it's only a dream. We shouldn't take these dreams so seriously. Nimai is so absorbed in his studies, he doesn't do anything except study. He will never leave us. But this thought was burning the heart of Jagannath Mishra. One day, he came back from receiving shiksha from his guru. And his body began to burn with a high, deadly fever. And there was nothing that could be done. Satchimata was in great distress, weeping. My dear husband, please do not leave us. Nimai explained to his mother that, dear Mata, you should not lament. After all, everyone must die sooner or later. It is the law of material nature. In this world, even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, must die. Even the greatest mountains of the Himalayas and the widest, deepest oceans, they all perish within this world. It is inevitable. It is all happening by the will of the Lord. my dear mother, at this most critical time of a person's life, we should all gather around him and loudly chant the holy names of Lord. They brought Jagannath Misha to the bank of Ganga. They sprinkled the water of the Ganges on him. They put tulsi leaves in his mouth and a garland of tulsis around his neck. And everyone, in great love, was chanting the names of Hari in his ears. Nimai began to cry. He clasped the lotus feet of his father and said, "My dear father, are you going to leave me today all alone? Our home will be empty without you. The whole world in the 10 directions will be filled with darkness. I will no longer be able to call you my father, and you will no longer call me your son. In your absence, my father, who will hold my hand? Who will guide me, and who will teach me?" In this way, he wept. Jagannath Mishra tried to respond, but his voice was choked up in love for Nimai. In great weakness, he somehow or other spoke. He said, "My child, Nimai, in the years that come, you may forget me. Therefore, I am entrusting you under the care of our Shalagram Srila Raghunath." Then Jagannath Misha, chanting the holy names of Krishna, departed from this world. Sachi Mata began to grieve. "My husband, you have left me. Who will protect me? We have this child, Nimai, the crest jewel of all children. He's so young. Who will care for him? Who will protect him? Why have you left us at this time?" She was weeping. Nimai consoled her. He said, "My dear mother, I will always remain with you. I will protect you." Shortly after that, Nimai happened to eat some betel nuts that were offered to the family deity. After eating those betel nuts, he fell unconscious. The family members became very, very worried. They began to sprinkle water upon him. Nimai explained that he had a dream. In that dream, his brother, Vishwaroop, appeared to him and took him by the hand and said, "Nimai, come with me, renounce this world of dualities and illusion and accept sannyas." Nimai said, "I will become a grihastha because I must protect my mother." And Vishwaroop replied, "Yes, this is very good. Please offer my millions of obeisances at the lotus feet of Sachi Devi." Nimai would sometimes act so restless. One time he was going to bathe in Ganga. He asked his mother, "Please get me some oil for my body and a garland to offer to Goddess Ganga." So Sachi Mata said, "Here is the oil, but it will take me a few minutes to bring the garland." "Ah, a few minutes? No, now! I'll get it immediately, just give me 1 minute." "1 minute? No, I want it now!" So he became so angry, he took a stick, He went in the house. He broke every pot in the house. There was ghee, there was yogurt, there was butter, everything.
Oil, just all over the house. After breaking every pot,
he started breaking whatever furniture was there to pieces. When there was nothing else to break, he started beating on the walls. Then he started beating and breaking the door. When there was nothing else to break in the entire house, he went outside and started beating on trees.
Then he started beating on the earth.
Then he fell down and went to sleep. While he was asleep, Satchimata cleaned the whole house. She woke him up and said, "Nima, here is your garland. Please do not be upset. Be happy." So Nimai happily went to the Ganga. But when he saw the great mess that he had created, he was embarrassed. After bathing in the Ganga, he came back. And Satchimata fed him nice prasad. After he was satisfied, she said that, "Nimai, why did you break everything in your house? This is your house. Everything belongs to you. Now there's no food, nothing. How will I cook for you? How will you eat?" Nimai said, "Mother, please do not be in distress. Krishna will provide for us." Then he went and came back and had 2 tolas of pure gold and said, "Mataji, please use this for your needs." Satchimata was thinking, he does this all the time. He destroys everything in the house, and then he comes back with this gold. Where is he getting this gold? She was so honest that when she would bring it to the marketplace, she didn't know if it was real gold or not. She would tell the people, "Please, go to at least 5 or 7 places and check to make sure this is real gold." It was always pure gold. In these ways, the Lord would perform many wonderful miracles to charm the heart of his beloved mother. One day, the Lord went to the river Ganga. There he saw Lakshmi Devi, the daughter of Sripad Balabhacharya. Recognizing her as his eternal consort, he glanced upon her, and she glanced upon him, and immediately their eternal love was awakened. She was there performing worship for the Lord Vishnu. Nimai told her that, "I am your beloved Lord. You should worship me." Lakshmi Devi, with her heart, immediately accepted it and offered him the garland, offered him the chandan, offered him all the bhoga, and he happily ate it. It was at that time that their ecstatic love was awakened. Sometime after this, there was a marriage organizer whose name was Vanamali. And he was thinking that this would be a very nice match, Lakshmi Devi and Vishwambar. You see, even in Navadvipa, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, they had something like marriage board. This is also bona fide process. Vanamali approached Sachi Devi and said, "I have a wonderful proposal for you that I think it would be perfect for your son Vishwambar, who is the very perfection of all young boys, to marry the unparalleled, chaste, faithful, and beautiful girl, Lakshmi Devi.
Sachi Devi said that Nimai is still very young, and he's so engrossed in his studies, it's not time for him now to marry. Vanamali became very depressed. He left the house. On the way, he saw Vishwambar. The Lord asked him, "Why are you looking so depressed?" He said, "I just came from your house. And I propose that you marry Lakshmi Devi, but your mother, Sachi Devi, refused the proposal. Therefore, I'm lamenting." Lord Vishwambar smiled at him. Then he went home and spoke to his mother. He said, "Why, mother? Why did you cause pain to the heart of that man?" When he said that, she immediately understood that Nimai wants to marry Lakshmi Devi. She became very happy. She called for Vanamali. She said, "The proposal you made, it's a very good idea. I accept it. It is what will make my Nimai happy." So Vanamali went to Ballabhacharya's house and made the proposal that the crest jewel of all Brahmins, the greatest scholar, the most beautiful object of everyone's love of Navadvipa, Sri Navadvipa Chandra, "I propose that he marry your daughter, Lakshmi." He immediately spoke with all of his family members, and they came to the conclusion that this is the perfection of our lives, to offer our daughter at the feet of Nimai. He said, "Yes, tell Sachi Devi, I accept the proposal. The marriage can go on immediately." So Sachi Devi and Ballabhacharya began all their wonderful preparations. The Adiva ceremony took place. Then Nimai was put on a palanquin, decorated very nicely. And Brahmins were chanting Vedic hymns, and other people were chanting wonderful kirtans, beautiful songs. The roads were decorated. Nimai was brought to the house of Ballabhacharya. Ballabhacharya and his wife offered honor and worship to Vishwambar and brought him inside, offered him many gifts and worship. Then they brought their daughter before him. They glanced upon each other and took their vows of marriage. As everybody sing this divine couple, Vishwambar and Lakshmi Devi, they were so struck with wonder. Such a beautiful pair. Perhaps they look like Radha and Krishna, or Sita Ram, or Parvati and Shiva, or Rati and Kamadev. Everyone was speculating in various ways who they really must be. And they were showering them with rice and with flowers. And everyone was crying out, "Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!"
Thus the marriage of Lakshmi Devi and Vishwambar took place. After all of the functions concluded, they put them on a palanquin and had a ceremonious procession back to the house of Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi had decorated the house with all auspicious paraphernalia and was at the door to greet them and welcome her new daughter-in-law into her home. When Sachi Mata saw Lakshmi Devi and Nimai, her heart was filled with ecstatic love. It was the greatest treasure of joy to her heart to see the reciprocation of divine affection between the two. And Lakshmi Devi was the very embodiment of chastity, faithfulness, willingness to serve. Nimai was such a charitable grihastha. Practically whatever he had, he would give in charity to those who were in need. One day, he invited 20 sannyasis to his home for prasad. Now you know how much sannyasis can eat. So he sent a message to his mother and wife that in a few minutes, 20 sannyasis are coming for prasad. Sachi Devi was thinking, how is this possible? We don't have even a grain of food in our house. Just at that very moment when she thought like this, somebody came to her door with big bundles of bhoga and said, I want to offer this for you. She was amazed. What type of miracle? Who is my son? She gave all the bhoga to Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi cooked a wonderful, wonderful feast. The sannyasis came. And Lord Chaitanya personally, with his own hands, welcomed them, worshipped them, offered his obeisances to them, sat them down, and served them prasad with his own hands. The Lord exhibited in his grihastha life the perfect principles of how a grihastha should live. If one wants to know what is the proper method of perfecting one's life as a grihastha, one should study the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one wants to learn the perfection of how to live one's life as a sannyasi, one must study the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord taught all classes of men and women by his own example. He is Krishna himself, who has personally appeared within the guise of his devotee to teach us how to live a life centered exclusively in devotion to Krishna. This was fully manifested when he returned from Gaya after accepting initiation from his Guru Maharaj, Ishwara Puri. Nimai, at that time in his Leela, was living in such a way that he was the greatest scholar of Navadvipa. He even became a teacher of others, although he was quite young. And there were thousands of students coming from all directions to learn from him. And he would challenge everyone, even the most senior scholars of the greatest place of learning in the world. He would say, where is the Bhattacharyas? Where is the Mishras? Where is the Chakravartis? You're only taking these titles artificially. You have no right to these titles unless you debate with me. Hare Krishna. And anyone who would debate with him would be completely devastated. But he did it in such a way that he maintained their prestige, and they actually felt happy being defeated by him. The devotees, they couldn't tolerate seeing this. On one hand, when they saw Nimai, their love for Krishna erupted like volcanoes in their hearts. They couldn't tolerate being without him. But simultaneously, they could not tolerate being with him. Because every time they would be with him, he would just challenge them to debate on all sorts of materialistic subject matters. Grammar, logic, rhetoric. The devotees, their life was only to talk about Krishna.
every moment wasted without thinking of Krishna, speaking about Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna can never be bought back even for millions and millions of rupees.
They didn't want to waste their time.
The devotees would be harassed by Nimai. One day he saw Murari Gupta and grabbed him. Murari Gupta was quite a bit older than Nimai. He was an Ayurvedic doctor as well. But he happened to be going to the same school as Nimai for some time. He said, "Murari, I have some questions for you."
"What is your questions?"
He would challenge him. Murari was a great scholar. Whatever answer he gave, Nimai would just tear it to pieces. In this way, for a long time, they would have debate. And Murari, the whole time, was thinking, "Why am I wasting my time?" Nimai said, "Why are you studying the scriptures? What is the use of you studying the scriptures? You're a doctor. You're Vaidya. The scriptures don't talk about mucus, bile, and air. You should go find some herbs and vines and make some medicines. You have no right to study these scriptures." Then Nimai touched Murari Gupta. And upon being touched by Nimai, Murari Gupta's body began to tremble in ecstasy. There were thrills of love of Krishna going up and down. His hair started standing on end. He was wondering, "Who is this boy? By just his touch, he puts me in ecstatic love." Then he turned to Nimai with a smile on his face, and he said, "Nimai, from this day on, I accept you as my teacher." Mukunda Dutt, the brother of Basudev Dutt, he was very dear to the devotees, because he will melt their hearts in ecstatic love every time he sang the sweet kirtans of Krishna's glories. Mukunda Dutt was so dear to the devotees, they simply lived to hear him sing the glories of the Lord. Not only was his voice sweet as nectar, but he sang with such pure, unmotivated love, humility, and simplicity. Whenever Nimai would see him, he would grab him on the road and challenge him to debate and not let him go until he was defeated. One day, Nimai was walking with some of his students, and Mukunda was walking down the road, and when Mukunda saw him, he ran away. Nimai asked his students, "Why did Mukunda go away?" He said, "He must have some important business somewhere." He said, "No! I know why he left, because he is a Vaishnava. And he only likes to speak about Krishna. He cannot tolerate hearing or speaking any other subject than Krishna. And I'm always discussing all kinds of mundane subjects with him. That's why he has run away from me." Then he began to talk very loudly in the direction that Mukunda had gone. He said, "Mukunda, you just wait and you see. Someday I will become such a great Vaishnava that Shiva and Brahma will come for my association. The devotees will not be able to give up my association for even a moment." The students heard this, but they could not understand what he was speaking or why. One day he met Gadadhar Pandit on the side of the road and grabbed him. He said, "Gadadhar, please tell me, what is the meaning of mukti?" Gadadhar said, "Mukti means relief of all material miseries and bondage." Nimai Pandit said, "No, that is not correct." And then with such incredible logic, He tore to pieces everything Gadadhar Pandit said. While Nimai was saying, Gadadhar Pandit, in Nimai's grip, the whole time he was thinking in his heart, I want to flee. I want to get out of this place. Then Nimai said, Gadadhar, now I will let you go. You go home, you read your books, and tomorrow I will have more questions for you. The devotees would come to the Ganga to take their bath, and they would see Nimai Pandit on the bank of the Ganga, surrounded by his students. And they would hear him speaking, such a sweet ambrosial voice, speaking all nonsense things. It was intolerable to them. They began to offer oblations to Ganga Devi, praying, Ganga Devi, please answer our prayer. Make Nimai Pandit a Vaishnava. During their kirtans, during their worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this was their prayer with tears in their eyes. Please make Nimai Pandit a Vaishnava. We have such love for him. We cannot be without him, but at the same time we cannot be with him. If Nimai Pandit becomes a Vaishnava, if he speaks the glories of Krishna, if he propagates the holy name of the Lord, he could make the whole world Krishna conscious. He can inundate the whole creation with the chanting of the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
During their kirtans, during their worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this was their prayer with tears in their eyes. Please make Nimai Pandit a Vaishnava. We have such love for him. We cannot be without him, but at the same time we cannot be with him. If Nimai Pandit becomes a Vaishnava, if he speaks the glories of Krishna, if he propagates the holy name of the Lord, he could make the whole world Krishna conscious. He can inundate the whole creation with the chanting of the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
One day, Srivas Thakur happened to see Nimai on the bank of Ganga. He said, Nimai, why do you waste your precious human birth with all these mundane academic studies? Don't you know that human life is meant for self-realization? Any education that does not awaken devotion to Krishna is simply useless. It is simply a cause of karma and bondage. You should worship Krishna. Nimai very humbly bowed down to Srivas and touched the dust from his feet and put it on his head. He said, Srivas Pandit, thank you for your blessing. He said, after some days, I will take shelter of a pure devotee. Then I will become a Vaishnava. With your blessing. Another time when Srivas Pandit and the devotees instructed him this way, he said, by the blessing of a Vaishnava like you, Krishna's mercy will come upon me. There is nothing so valuable and precious as the blessings of the Vaishnavas. This is the great lesson that Nimai Pandit taught. One day, the great Ishwara Puri came to Sri Navadvip Dham. Ishwara Puri was the beloved disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great sannyasi. However, he was so humble that he never wanted any type of honor or prestige for himself. He lived in a very simple way. He came to the house of Advaitacharya, especially to see this great soul. He sat in the courtyard. He appeared to be just an ordinary beggar, the way he was dressed. Nobody in Navadvip thought him anything but an ordinary beggar. And that's the way he liked to be seen. Advaitacharya and the devotees saw this person. He had a special effulgence, a special quality. Who is he? Advaita kept staring at him again and again. Then he approached Ishwarapuri and asked, "Who are you and why have you come?" Ishwarapuri replied, "I am the most fallen, lowest Shudra. I have no good qualities, but I have come here to see you and receive your blessings." Seeing his humility and his natural devotion, Advaitacharya understood this is a special person that has come. Then Mukunda Dutt began to sing kirtan. As he was singing, Ishwarapuri entered into a trance of ecstatic love. His limbs were trembling, his hair was standing on end, tears were pouring, he was rolling on the ground. These devotees understood that these were genuine, realized, ecstatic symptoms. And then they found out that this is the celebrated Ishwarapuri, the foremost disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He was the godbrother of Advaitacharya. They embraced. And from that day on, the devotees, in great love, they would hear Harikatha from the mouth of Ishwarapuri. He was staying at the house of Gopinathacharya. One day, Lord Chaitanya was walking along the bank of the river Ganga, and he saw Ishwarapuri walking down that bank as well. He bowed down and took dust from Ishwarapuri's lotus feet upon his head. Ishwarapuri saw the beauty of this child. He said, "Who are you?" "My name is Nimai Pandit." "Oh, you are the famous Nimai Pandit that I have heard so much about." Nimai requested, "Please come to my home for prasad." Ishwarapuri came to the home. Lakshmi Devi and Sachimata prepared nice prasad, and Nimai personally served him. That day, Ishwarapuri spent the whole night speaking Krishna Katha to Nimai and the family and friends. Gadadhar Pandit became a very, very dear student of Ishwarapuri. Seeing the humility, the detachment, and the devotion of Sri Gadadhar, Ishwarapuri loved him dearly. Ishwarapuri would speak from a book that he had written of the name Krishna Lilamrita. Every day for some time, Lord Chaitanya, who was named Vishwambhar, would come to hear Ishwarapuri speak. One day, Ishwarapuri requested that, "You are such a great scholar. I want you to edit my book and correct the mistakes that were made." Nimai replied that, "This is impossible. There is no mistakes in your book, because everything you write is written with pure devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Anyone who finds faults with the activities or the words of one who is acting in pure devotion, that person will perish."
Everything you say is perfect because it is in a spirit of bhakti. Ishwarapuri felt great joy upon hearing Nimai Pandit's appreciation for the path of bhakti. But he said, actually, there are many mistakes. Please help me in correcting them. One day, Nimai heard a particular explanation, and he pointed out that the word that you used is not the proper word. It should be this word instead. Ishwarapuri was silent. Nimai left. That night, Ishwarapuri was contemplating. The next day, Nimai came, and Ishwarapuri said, actually, the word that I had spoken and written is correct. What you said is not correct. Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar, who was defeating everyone, who even later on defeated Digvijay Keshav Kashmiri, he accepted defeat from his spiritual master. Nimai, his heart was filled with happiness to be defeated by his spiritual master. Similarly, our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, the first time he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at 1 Ultadunga Junction Road, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told him, that you are an intelligent young man, you should take this message of Lord Krishna and teach it in the English language throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada, he responded that at this time, India is under the subjugation of the British Empire. We are not a free nation. Our country has no integrity. First, we should follow Gandhi's process, get liberation from the British, then the world will hear what we have to say. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very strongly defeated his arguments. He said, Krishna consciousness is the eternal reality. This political party, that political party, these things are always changing in the land of illusion and duality. Krishna consciousness is the only necessity, and it must be established now and forever as the only solution to the problems of suffering. Prabhupada told the world that I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, who knows past, present, and future, was very pleased to be defeated by his Guru Maharaj.
Gauranga Prema Prabhu wants to bestow upon us a great blessing by requesting Jananivas Prabhu to speak.
Hare Krishna. So we heard the wonderful leela of Sri Govinda Ghosh and Gopinathji. So there's a lot of inspiration to be had from this. How Krishna is appearing out of his kindness as a deity. But in the form of a deity, he can personally relate to his devotees, have pastimes with them. And although seemingly Govinda Ghosh Thakur was chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his so-called hoarding and attachments, but ultimately it turned out a great blessing for us and everyone in the future because of that mild chastisement and instruction that he should stay and get married. and worship Gopinath ji. Then we had this wonderful Pindadan Leela of Govinda Ghosh. And now thousands and thousands of devotees come here and hear the glories of Gopinath ji, Govinda Ghosh. So this is the Nitya Leela, pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. Gopinath personally came to Govinda Ghosh, who was actually in a fit of anger when his son had died, and he just lay down on the bed and he refused to cook, refused to eat himself, refused to offer anything to Gopinath. He was just refused to do anything. And Gopinath appeared before him and was actually massaging the legs of Govinda Ghosh. And then he had that wonderful narration, saying that, I can't understand your intelligence. First of all, one of your sons dies, and then you try to kill the other one. You neglect the other one, you're trying to kill him also. What kind of intelligence do you have? No, I've only got one son. But you're also looking after me, you're giving me food, you put me to sleep, you wake me up. You're treating me just like your son, and I'm accepting it. And now I'm completely dependent on you, and now you're neglecting me. So he was showing that he was actually, had become dependent on his devotee. So Krishna actually does that. He becomes dependent on his devotees when they serve with love and devotion. And he requested that when Govinda Ghosh asked him that, yes, and who will do my pinda? I have no son now. Can you do that? So Gopinath said, yes, okay, I will also do. So in this festival, Gopinath comes and puts on the Stradavesh, and he has a Kushagras ring on his finger, and he actually performs the ceremony. And earlier on, within our, within the last 50 or 60 years, some people say actually this, they could witness this ceremony going on, but nowadays, maybe only a few people could see, but actually it was, often they would actually witness the Gopinath actually performing the pindadan for his devotee. So this place is extremely sacred, and we shouldn't hesitate to take the dust from this place, because Govinda Ghosh's Lord is Gopinath ji. And in Krishna's Leela, then Govinda Ghosh is an intimate associate of and servant of Gopinath ji in the form of Kalavati. Along with his brothers, Madhava Ghosh and Vasu Ghosh. They also have relationships in Krishna Leela as Rasulasa and Gunatunga Shakis. And there they also sing. Here they were famous for singing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Radha and Krishna. There also in Vrindavan, that was their, one of their services there, they would sing beautiful songs. And especially they would sing songs that were composed by Vishakha Devi to please Radha Gopinath ji. And it is stated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that these three brothers were actually immediate expansions of the body of Srimati Radharani. So this dust has been graced with the expansions of Srimad Radharani. We shouldn't hesitate to take this. Nitaigo Premanandi.
Everyone, please go for darshan to worship the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Govinda Ghosh. It is just over this direction. Pray to Sri Radha Gopinath for their great mercy, that they may bestow upon us detachment from material desires and complete attachment to their loving service. Pray for the mercy and blessings of Sri Govinda Ghosh. Take the dust from the soil of this holy place. For if we all obey the instruction of Jananivas Prabhu, that will certainly be our path to perfection. Jananivas Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopinanandi. Thank you very much.